It's time for the Swap Shop Hour. Give us a call at 740-383-9944. It's time for Swap Shop. Come on, friends. If you're going to sell it, we're going to tell it. So pick up your phone and let me make it perfectly clear. It's time for Swap Shop. Good old Swap Shop. We're going to try and sell it here. 740-383-9944.
Hey, it's time for Swap Shop. And as you probably already know, we don't do real active swapping here on Swap Shop. But if you are interested in selling something on the air or making an announcement about some event that you have that's, you know, like a nonprofit event or something like that, we'd be glad to hear from you. The phone number here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We'll be glad to put on the air things that you might want to be swapping. We hope that you do it safely, and we encourage you to wear your mask and stay distant from people. Like if somebody's going to come to your house and buy one of your tchotchkes, maybe you can figure out a way that you can do it from a little safer distance than hand-to-hand, right? Yesterday, when I wear a mask all the time when I'm out in public, and I never shake hands anymore. And yesterday, kind gentleman came by because I was stuck in my driveway because of the snow and everything, and he asked to help me, and we worked and we finally got the thing out. I was covered with spray from the tires and everything else, but we got it out, and I was so happy. I ran over to him, shook his hand, and realized neither one of us he had his mask hanging on the rearview mirror of his car, and I had mine hanging on my rearview. So let's hope in a couple of weeks I won't have to miss my show, okay? It's kind of a scary time to be alive here, and let's hope we get to stay alive here, right? Today, with all this snow and, you know, on this show I do a lot of trivia, and I do a lot of information, and I also do speeches and stuff like that to fill the time for you, so you're not just listening to dead air while we don't have calls. We will have more calls, I'm sure, as the spring perks up, and you know we're only what 12 weeks away from the last frost date, which I think in Marion is right around the beginning of May, and we're only like 12 weeks away from that. I've got my garden growing in my basement already. As a matter of fact, I think some of my plants will be too big to be on the shelf under my grow light by the time I can put them out. But anyway, I'm just doing it because it makes me happy to see all the leaves and greenery, and we do snip some of the leaves off for our salads, so it works out fine. We're having a good time. But anyway, I thought I would look up some facts about snow and snowflakes and snow events and that sort of thing, and give you something to think about today. Oh, by the way, I had a young man come in from the Marion Star, and they are apparently going to do some sort of article about our problems with our transmitter and stuff like that, and our apparently misunderstood information from the FCC, who has contacted Scott this morning and told him that they had kind of made a mistake. So anyway, we will talk to you more about that. I think Scott will have stuff on his show in the morning about that. We are not on the air live over, well, we're not on the airwaves right now on 107.1 FM. We are, if you're listening to us, you're listening to us on the web. I understand that there are a lot of people that have, what is it, Alexia? Whatever the name of the little thing that you call it, you say, Alexa, put on WWGH, and she'll put it on for you. And you can listen to us that way. And we have had several calls from people that are listening to us that way. Also, all of our shows that have been on since yesterday, I think about 10 o'clock, that's when we got hit and our transmitter went down. Those shows will all be on our file, so you can go to our website, and if you really miss the shows, you can get on and listen to what was going on. Hopefully you found out how to do listen live on our website. You go to our website and go down to the bottom of the page, and there's a thing that says listen live, and you can listen to us live, just like you had your radio on, right? And we do have a lot of people that do that, because if you get outside of Marion County, it's darn near impossible to hear us. So we have a lot of people. I have had calls from California, North Carolina, Florida, Wisconsin, several. I'm just going to say several states. So we have people. If you're listening to us right now from another state, welcome aboard. I hope you have less snow than we have. I have so much snow, we've built a corral for our dog just out of piles of snow around the corral. She can't get out. They're at least 2 feet high, so that, and our dog is only 1 foot high, so she can't get out. And I also found out she was slipping and sliding. She'd walked on it so much that it had gotten real icy. Well, I had some dirt down in my basement that I had used in other plants in my garden, as I was talking, and so I threw that on the ground, so figuring it'd give her a little bit more, she wouldn't slide so much. Well, it actually melted the snow. I love it. So anyway, I didn't know that dirt would melt snow. I think it probably had something to do the darkness and maybe the sun melt. I don't know. Anyway, snowflakes, they aren't the only form of snow. Did you know that? Well, of course you knew that. We've all had sleet, right? And that's kind of a form of snow. It can be precipitated as grapple or sleet. Now, I don't know what grapple is. Maybe it'll tell me here. Sleet and grapple are not to be confused with hail. Grapple is snow pellets. Have you? I guess I've seen snow pellets. They're opaque, so you can't see through them, ice particles. They form way up in the atmosphere as ice crystals, and they just start falling, and it's like having a little heavy snow is what it is. It happens when the upper atmosphere gets colder than freezing. And you know, you can have snow on days that are above freezing, because just a few hundred feet up in the air, the temperature is way colder than it is here, and they will float down. You can actually get an accumulation of snow as they come down. They form way up high and they come down, and as long as the ground is still cold from days before, you can get an accumulation. But if the temperature is above 32, eventually the warmth is going to get to them and turn them into water, right? Sleet, on the other hand, which is not considered snow, consists of droplets of rain that freeze into small translucent balls. Now, that doesn't sound much different than the grapple, but apparently people that know about weather stuff say it's a different thing. So make sure you know that because there'll be a test at the end of this, right? did I tell you? Yes, I did tell you. You're listening to WWGH here in Marion, Ohio, 107.1 right now. You're probably not hearing us live on the air. You're probably hearing us over the web, because that's the only way you can get us right now, because of our transmitter being taken off the air. Not being taken off the air. It kicked off the air. All right. Syracuse, New York, tried to make snow illegal. Can you believe that? How do you make something that comes from the sky, which is all done in nature, how do you make it illegal? Well, Syracuse, I don't know if you've ever been to Syracuse in the winter, but there's lots and lots and lots of snow in Syracuse. We once played a basketball game when I was at DePaul, I think, and we played against it was a long time ago. It was back probably in 81, 82, someplace like that. They had to shovel the snow away from the door where the teams entered, because somebody had forgotten to do that, and we were told to go to this one door at the back of the carrier dome, I believe it is, and it was covered with apparently the snow plows. You know, they use those back loaders and the front loaders and all that stuff. Well, they had just piled it up in front of the door, so we couldn't get in. But they eventually got us in, and I think we lost that game. It was interesting, though. It was the very first game played in that dome, and it had the largest crowd ever to see a college basketball game indoors. Not indoors, in a dome. And I think there was 25,000 people that came to that that game. It was kind of fun. I always like going to games that were unique like that. When I was with DePaul University, we had a lot of games like that. Because of a young man named Mark Aguirre and Terry Cummings and Tyrone Corbin, we had quite a run there for the 5 years that I was there. And we had a lot of interesting things, and played before lots of huge crowds. We played in the championship of the NIT. I think we came in second or third. I'm not sure. Played at the Final Four back when Magic and Bird were playing. We got to play against Bird, and we lost that game by 2 points, maybe three. But we didn't get to play against Magic because they defeated they played Indiana State, and we lost to Indiana State. We did in the consolation game, which they used to have and they don't have anymore. I think they're talking about bringing it back. But in the consolation game, we played Penn, which was not a very good team, and we beat them. We would have beaten them soundly, but the coach felt guilty and let some of our third stringers in toward the end, and the game got a lot closer in a hurry. Okay, anyway, Syracuse decided that they were going to make snow illegal, or try to make snow illegal. And this was back in 1992. The city council, common council, passed a decree that any more snow before Christmas Eve was illegal. As it turns out, Mother Nature didn't pay a bit of attention. They had snow 2 days later, right after they made that illegal. you don't mess with Mother Nature, right? All right, you're listening to Swap Shop here on WWGH, and we're talking about snow. Why not? We got plenty of it outside. I've been shoveling snow, it seems like forever, but I guess it's only been about a week. I have one of those little tiny snow blowers, the electric ones, and it did a pretty good job, but not a great job. But my shoulders are sore from doing a lot of lifting. It's a myth, by the way, that no two snowflakes are exactly the same. Now, that kind of surprised me when I read this, because I thought that that was absolutely a fact, but it's a myth. In 1988, a scientist found two identical snowflake crystals. They came from a storm that was up in Wisconsin. And how many snowflakes did you have to look at to find two that were identical? I don't know. It might have just been a serendipitous thing that they just happened to be on his slide at the same time. I don't know. But apparently, snowflakes can be identical. I would venture to say the chance of you finding two identical snowflakes are slim and none, and slim is leaving town, all right? The largest snowflakes. Now, what if you stop and think about it, how big would you think the largest snowflake was that you have ever seen? An inch, maybe 2 inches? Yeah, that's what I thought. And I come from an area, when I lived in Valparaiso, it was in the snow belt, in the snow shadow of Lake Michigan. We had snow at one time. Well, I'll tell you a little story about that. I was traveling out on the West Coast, nice, warm, Southern California coast. We were playing against UCLA. And I got one of our ball players yelled at me, "Mr. Coble, Valparaiso is on TV." So I ran into his room and we looked at it. And sure enough, Valparaiso, Indiana, which was my town that I lived in at the time, Valparaiso was under, I think, 24 inches of snow. And it had happened in a couple hours, you know, a few hours. It was all lake effect snow, but it was huge. And so I'm living in Southern California for the next couple of days while my wife is up in Northern Indiana trying to dig out. Well, we flew home and I took a train from it's a long story. I had to take an L to the train and so forth. Anyway, we got through the snow and I got down to Valparaiso and I drove as far as I could, and I had to stop the car in a snowbank about, three or four, maybe five blocks from my house. Now, I had decided, well, if it's this bad, I better get some groceries. So I got the groceries, and then I couldn't get to the house. So I thought, well, I'll carry what I can to the house, and I'll come back and get the rest of the stuff. Well, I had bought a case of beer. And I thought that was the most important thing, so I carried that to the house. I can't tell you how much my wife gave me she was so mad. I did end up going right back to the car and getting the groceries. That was back when I used to drink a little bit more than I do now. I have one beer a week now. Anyway, the largest snowflakes, we were talking about how big snowflakes can get. In January of 1887, a snowflake that fell was described as larger than a milk pan. Now, I don't know how big a milk pan is, but it's got to be larger than 2 inches. My guess is a milk pan is at least 6 inches, right? That's what I'm guessing. But that was back in 1887, and that was out in Montana. And Montana has some pretty nasty weather out there. Now we can hold our own over this last week, I think, with a lot of places. It's really been crazy. I don't know if I've seen an official depth of snow here in Marion, but I can tell you in my backyard I've got over a foot. So, matter of fact, yesterday while I was carrying my snow shovel out to try to get out to come down here and do my show, I walked through the front yard and the snow hit the bottom of my knees. So that would be closer to 2 feet, I would guess. Maybe not quite that high. But I don't know. I haven't seen an official length or depth, but I'm guessing we had 16 to 20 inches of snow piled up. It was real light snow. Oh, by the way, I found out how big a milk pan is, 15 inches. There was a snowflake that was about 15 inches wide. That's a huge snowflake. If that hits you, it might knock you down, right? All right. Snow is translucent. It's not white. Did you know that? I think I might have known that. But they're made up of ice particles, and ice particles virtually are colorless. You can see through them. They reflect the light around them, and therefore they give the appearance that they're white because they're reflecting the white light. Why is it white? The reason we see objects as colors is because some wavelength of light is absorbed by others. And so it absorbs all colors, which makes white, right? I believe that's correct. All right, let's continue on, because it's a really long paragraph that tells me exactly how that all happens. And I don't think you want to know. And I don't want to read all that stuff, because I don't think I'll explain it very well, right? In fact, this talks about the snow appearing as white, and we already talked about that. So I'm going to move on, all right? Each winter in the U.S., at least one septillion ice crystals fall from the sky. Now, how many zeros do you think is behind the one on a septillion? Okay, I'm counting. One septillion has 24 zeros behind the one. Let's see, how many commas does that mean? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 commas. Well, that stands to reason because there are three digits. Yeah. So 24 zeros after the one is one septillion. That's a lot of ice crystals that fall from the sky in the United States. I was thinking about that this morning as I was watching the snow start to fall, and as I'm thinking, oh no, I'm not going to get out of my driveway today. If you took a tube and went straight up in the air when the snow is falling and squished everything down real fast, I wonder how many inches would be floating down upon you. Well, I guess it kind of depends on the day, and it kind of depends on how heavy the precipitation is going to be. Sometimes I wonder about things that other people wonder why I'm wondering about them, right? All right. In 1921, over 6 feet of snow fell between April 24th and April 25th, between 2:30 p.m.s in Silver Lake, Colorado. That's a lot of snow. That was the most snowfall in a 24-hour period in the United States. It was 75.8 inches, and that was in Silver Lake, Colorado. Colorado must get a lot of snow because as I was looking this stuff up, Colorado is mentioned in a lot of this snow trivia stuff. Silver Lake, Colorado, I think it was, I saw it mentioned more than once. But they hold the record with 75.8 inches in a 24-hour period. Now, in a single calendar day, Georgetown, Colorado holds that. Now, that doesn't go like the 75.8 inches was from 2:30 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. the next day. But one that fall the most number of inches that have fallen in a single calendar day was considerably less, 63 inches, and that was in Georgetown, Colorado. Okay, where do you think in the United States there has never been a single reported snowflake? Key West. The coldest temperature ever recorded in Key West. Key West is the very furthest out key from Florida, and it's pretty far west and pretty far south. The coldest temperature ever reached in Key West. Now, this doesn't include this year. I don't know if we're going to include this year or not. We'll have to find out. But the coldest temperature was 41 degrees Fahrenheit on January 13th, 1981. That was also reached on January 12th, 1886. So it sounds like every 100 years they get down to 41 degrees. I'm ready to move to Key West right now. How about you? Hey, it's 12:41. You're listening to Swap Shop, which we haven't done a whole lot of swapping since COVID started, and since especially in the middle of weather like this. I don't think that anybody's going to get out of their house, drive their car to your car to swap with you. Not today. Maybe next week. But, you know, I did look on my phone. My phone tells me what, you know, it gives you a forecast of what it's going to be like in the next few days, 10 days actually, I think it is. And let me read this to you because it's kind of cool. In the next 10 days, we got to get through Friday and Saturday. The high of those 2 days supposedly is going to be 21. But from then on, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it's going to be above freezing. The high temperature will be above freezing every single day for 7 days in a row. And now the low during those 7 days, there is one day that gets down to 27. But oh, no, there's one day that gets down to 23. But still in the 20s is the low, and in the 30s is the high. That's good news, isn't it? I'm looking forward to spring. I know that's not spring, but it's better than what we've been going through. I think my phone told me yesterday in the middle of the night it was -6. That's pretty cold. Now, I'm counting on my phone to tell me the truth. It's not official. That's just what my phone told me, right? Okay. Now, you know, everybody says when a snowstorm comes along, they say, oh, no, we're going to have another blizzard. No, they're not blizzards. You know what it takes to be a blizzard? There are actual scientific terms. The scientific qualifications to be a blizzard is the winds must blow at least 35 miles an hour, and the snowfall must reduce visibility to less than a quarter of a mile for at least 3 hours. Those two things have to happen for at least 3 hours. We don't get a whole lot of real blizzards. Other kinds of snowstorms include, you know, like a snow squall, and that would be probably more what we call a blizzard. And the definition of that is intense snowfall accompanied by strong winds, but not necessarily 35 mile an hour winds. And it's strong, it's intense snowfall. Now you may get down to the quarter mile visibility, not 35 mile an hour winds. And then we also get what they call the snow burst. And a snow burst is, you know, real intense snow just for a few moments. And it doesn't really show any temperature or any wind speed for a snow burst. But now, when I was in Valparaiso and South Bend, Indiana, by the way, they're both in the snow shadow of Lake Michigan, it seemed we would always say it was a blizzard, but usually that type of snow was big, huge flakes. It was kind of beautiful. They just kept falling. And there were many a day that went over a foot of snow in both of those towns, just by those big, huge, wet snowflakes that fall from the sky. I kind of liked it, but then I was a kid and I didn't want to go to school, right? Now nobody's going to school. I think they want to get back to school. All right. This is an interesting fact. Did you know, you know what an igloo is? You remember seeing those in cartoons? They're houses made by, mainly made up in the northern, way up in the northern, you know, closer to the Arctic. But they're homes that are made out of ice, big blocks of ice. And igloos can be more than 100 degrees warmer inside than outside. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to be 100 degrees warm inside. It means 100 degrees warmer inside than what it is outside. So if you've got a minus 35, you would have a plus, what's 65? Something like that. So an igloo can be more than 100 degrees warmer inside than outside. And you know where the heat comes from in an igloo? It comes from body heat. You put two or three people inside, and it's like having two or three catalytic heaters in there at 98.6, right? And that's where the heat comes from, on the inside of an igloo, because the ice that they make the igloos out of, they're 90%, 90 to 95% of ice is trapped air, and so nothing transfers through that. It makes a really good insulator, that ice that they make it out of. Well, of course, you know, big bears, they dig holes to sleep in when they hibernate. So if you dig down in the snow and build a nice little cave for yourself, it's going to be warmer in there. Now, you might get a little wet, but anyway, 90 or 100 degrees warmer inside an igloo than whatever the outside temperature is. 100 degrees. That kind of toasty. Nova Scotia, one of my favorite places that I've never been. Nova Scotia holds the record for the most snow angels ever made simultaneously in one location. Obviously, we're trying to make a bunch of snow angels for the Guinness Book of World Records, I'm guessing. But it's not at one place. Now, I have that record too. But Nova Scotia, apparently they designated a day back in 2011 where 22,022 Nova Scotian residents in 130 separate locations all plopped down in the snow and made snow angels. 22,022 residents made snow angels. So that Nova Scotia holds the record for the most snow angels ever made simultaneously in multiple locations. They must have done some sort of thing on a radio station there, told everybody to go outside and plop down and do a snow angel. I like doing snow angels. I like doing them for about 30 seconds, and then, you know, you get the snow down your back, and you got to get out of there. Anyway, you're listening to, by the way, you're listening to WWGH 107.1 FM. No, we haven't gotten our transmitter back up yet. If you're listening to us, you're listening either on one of those little devices that you can say tune in channel WWGH, or you're listening on the internet over our web broadcast. Now, if you have friends that want to listen and they can't figure it out, all you do is go to our website, scroll down toward the bottom of the website, and it says listen live, and you just click on that and you'll be listening to us. Gives us a nice way to talk to our family and friends, and we can do it all over the world. If you live in Hunan, you can listen to WWGH. If you listen in Nova Scotia, you can listen to WWGH. All you have to do is go to your computer and go to the web and click on our website, and then click on Listen Live. I hope you're out there doing that right now. We know there are lots of people doing that, because Scott got lots of calls from people that have been listening to us on Alexa, whatever it's that, you know, that little device that you can tell to tune in radio stations and listen to them. Now North Dakota is the place that holds the record for the most people that plopped down at one location. It was back in 2007. There were 8,962 people in one location in North Dakota. They all plopped down probably on a big football field or something like that, maybe even bigger than that, and they did the snow angel thing. 8,962 people did it, and they set the world record for the most number of snow angels done in a single location. Now, the ones that I was talking about in Nova Scotia, that was done in 130 separate locations. So apparently somebody wanted to know the differentiation between the two, and Guinness Book of World Records apparently did that. Okay, we're getting close to shutting her down. We've got about 8 minutes left to go, and I only have one question left to go, so I'm going to have to be vamping here for a while. It's okay. That's what we do in radio. We vamp when we don't have anything else to read. If you're interested in the largest snowball fight on record, where do you think the largest snowball fight on record took place? No, it wasn't in Central Park during the filming of what was the name of that show? Ed Asner was Santa Claus. I can't remember. And Elf. It was in Elf. No, that wasn't where the largest snowball fight was. That was just the most unbelievable snowball fight. Well, anyway, it took place in Seattle. 5,834 people got together, and they decided that they were going to have a big snowball fight. I never did like snowball fights because I always got one right square in the face. And if the only thing worse than getting it, well, no, actually, I think getting it in the face is worse. I did not like getting a snowball in the neck where it would go down your shirt. That was never any fun. I always made sure I had a thing around my neck so that I wouldn't get snow down my neck. But when you're out in the snow, you can't. It's inevitable. You'll get some inside your clothes and. Whew, that's cold. I hate that. I once was on a sailboat when it snowed. That was kind of interesting. In a race, it was early. It was probably in May. It might have been very early May. We had a sailboat race. Now it might have been the end of April. We had a sailboat race out of Michigan City, Indiana. And somebody said, "What is that?" And we looked up, and it was snowing on our sailboat race. Not something you usually expect to see in a sailboat. Yeah, sailboat race, but we had beautiful snow. There are a lot of things that have happened in several of the sailboat races I was in. One of the weather things that was kind of crazy is a tornado at sea. Water spout. That's it, water spout. And the water spout, we were going along and getting pretty good wind, actually. We were scooting right along, and our skipper yelled at us that there was a water spout off to our right side, or for you sailboat people, off to our starboard. And the water spout kept getting closer. And they're kind of scary because they look like a tornado is going to hit you. But we didn't get actually hit by the thing. One of the boats did get hit by it, and it really ruffled up its sails. But it didn't heard it, it was, you know, it wasn't as powerful as a real tornado. Apparently, because it's lifting all that water, it kind of slows down and it gets heavy, and it really. But I don't think I want to be in a water spout personally. But it went right off our stern, and kind of scary to look at. My skipper steered us clear of it. He didn't want to get our sails in it for fear that it would rip up our sails, but it didn't rip up the sails of the boat that actually was in it, but it did play heck with it. And they flapped all over the place as it went over them. But also, I've never ever seen it before or since. I saw a double rainbow, and I know I've heard of a lot of people seeing double rainbows, but it's the only one I've ever seen was at sea. We were sailing, and there was a double rainbow, and we were off Chicago, and we looked back towards Chicago, so it must have been afternoon, and there was a double rainbow, and I didn't see any of those little Irish critters running around with their pots of gold. I'm trying to think. There was another incident at sea that I was going to tell you about, and I've lost it. I've forgotten all about it. Someday I'll do a story. We'll do a show about sailboat racing, all the fun of sailboat racing, and all the scary stuff about sailboat racing. One time we were racing the Chicago to Mackinac race, and we went inside the Manitou Islands, which are pretty far north in off the coast of Michigan. And if you go inside of them and you're getting a wind off of from the west, which is the prevailing wind, you're going to get some times where you're going to get a wind shadow. So we were leaning way over because the winds were coming very hard. And then we went into the wind shadow of the Manitou Islands, and the boat went plop straight up and down. And then we came out and there are two or three of the Manitou Islands. And we came out behind that, and it knocked us really hard. It knocked us so hard that on a 31-foot boat, our mast went into the water. That's how far it knocked us down. Now, we were all tethered onto the boat, and I was knocked off the boat. But because I had a rope that tethered me to the boat, I could get back on board the boat, and it came back up pretty fast. The sail did fill with water, so it didn't come straight back up real fast, but it only took a minute to empty the water out of the sail and slowly but surely come back up. Pretty exciting. There's also nothing more beautiful than being on a sailboat in a huge lake like Lake Michigan, being out in the middle of it and looking up at the stars. There's no light pollution out in the middle of Lake Michigan, so you can look up and see the stars. Milky Way is just, I can't describe it. It's that beautiful. It's just absolutely undescribable. You know, when you hear that term, you don't know what that refers to. Well, it refers to being in the middle of Lake Michigan looking up at the Milky Way. That is undescribable. Millions and millions and millions of stars right above you. Absolutely gorgeous. Well, it's about time for us to get out of here and head to, let's see, I have to go to the mailroom. The post office. My wife told me I had to mail something, so I'm going to drive through and drop stuff off and be a good husband like I try to do. I hope you have a safe day, and please stay out of the snow drifts because they are hard to get out of if you get into one. Stay out of the snow drifts, keep your mask on, and stay away from people if you can, and come back and join me next Wednesday and Thursday, and we'll have a good time. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.